This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's the day that the bishops of the United States have asked all the Catholics to make of this day a day of reparation for the sin of abortion. I might add that sin has been committed about 50 million times in almost 40 long years. But that number of 50 million only applies to this country, because I read just the other night that the worldwide number of abortions approaches about 1 billion. Now, when I saw that number of a billion, it was in a letter to an editor of a magazine, of a journal. And the author of the letter was talking about these 1 billion abortions, lives that were snuffed out, lives that were taken, in the so-called, what he called, the Christian West. Now that made me pause a moment and think, now, the Christian West, what does he mean by the Christian West? Well, I know what the Christian West used to be. Used to be Christian civilization, used to be Catholic civilization. Catholic countries the world over whose lives and culture were formed by the Catholic Church, or even the residue of Catholicism in the Protestant countries like America. But what is the Christian West now? Who comprises the Christian West today to be blamed for abortion? Is any of it Christian? The West. And by what measure is it Christian? Are the laws of the Christian West, particularly in America, are they Christian in any recognizable way? Do our laws foster the practice of Christianity, even Protestant or Catholic? In fact, is it not written in our Constitution that the government is forbidden to establish a religion? And has that not been interpreted in many ways for a long time now, that the government is not allowed even to recognize any religion, and particularly if it's Christian, and more particularly if it's Catholic? You and I know that the howls go up any time it looks like the government forgot itself and allowed some innocuous Christian advantage, like putting up a nativity scene or a cross on public property that they forgot. Oh my goodness, next we'll be forcing the aldermen to go to Mass. The Cardinal himself said the other day in the New World that he never thought the day would come that Catholics in America would be forced by the government to provide immoral activities like birth control and sterilization and abortion in our hospitals and in our health care facilities. He never thought that he would see the day when we would be forced to endure our employees for those immoral activities in our schools, our universities. Well, the Cardinal knows now, if he didn't know then, that the modern liberal secular government is not our friend and has never been our friend and never will be our friend. The modern secular government, call it liberal democracy, call it the will of the people, call it anything you want, the modern secular government, born in the atheism of the 18th century French salons, tells us that there is no power above the government or with whom it needs to contend. The state is all that counts. Its laws, its power to enforce, its ideological trajectory, where it's going, where it wants to go, is supreme, the state. The modern liberal democracy says that you as a citizen of this country can believe in God if you want. You can go to church all day long if you want. You can light candles and make novenas and pray your little hearts out, but do not expect your God or the teachings of your church to be acknowledged or encouraged or put into practice by the state. Certainly, if that God or his laws are at all at odds with the will of those who run the country. Now they brainwash us and tell us that we are self-governed, that the laws come from us. But we really know that the ones who run this country are not the voters. They're not us. If it were our country, and if our simple Christian will was being enacted in the laws and in the policies of this country, would we have as much misery and poverty as we do? how many of us have actually enacted the laws that drove down the values of our houses by $50,000 to $100,000 if we didn't lose them entirely? No, we were the pawns of the ones who really run this country, the politicians and the financiers, the corporatists and the capitalists in league with the socialists. They're the ones who made the laws and made the money, and we suffered the consequences. Did you ever see the acres of empty factories on 16th Street where they used to make the hot point appliances? Or the covered over and built over and abandoned Western Electric plant that made all the phone equipment for the whole world? And were you consulted when they took that all away? Along with your jobs and your stores and the families and the neighborhoods? And they had their slaves in China do it for free? Did you vote for that? No. If we Christians were the ones running this country, would we not have... We would not have had 100 years of families destroyed by the plague of divorce and the heartache of infidelity. If we were the ones who were running the country, we would not have the spectacle of men wanting to marry men, with the government providing monetary incentives for them to do so, and we as a church would not be forced to provide immoral medical treatments or be forbidden to provide adoptions or foster care for children. If we were the ones who were really in charge, as they want us to think we're in charge, then we would not be faced with the guilt and the sin of 50 million abortions in 40 years. Well, how did all this happen? The short answer is that we allowed the state to convince us that the state is supreme and that religion is a private matter. Or only the government, not the church, only the government tells us what is right from wrong. Only the state, and with no input from Christianity, legislates what is good for families or for husbands and wives, for children and grandchildren. And we accept all that most of the time because we have been persuaded that the state carries out the so-called will of the people. And the will of the people is supreme in our minds. We really think that. But the will of the people is a myth. If by the will of the people we mean that a majority vote equals the will of God, I don't think so. The majority only equals the number of those who believe what the bankers and the atheists and the rulers and the governors of this world tell us, that what they want for us is what we must obviously want for ourselves. And how did they convince us of that? Well, they appealed to our wounded human nature's disordered love of freedom. And they seduced us into thinking and believing that true freedom is doing what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. And then when we are doing our will, we'll be happy. We'll be achieving life's ultimate fulfillment and life's ultimate goal, which is fun and pleasure, no matter who gets hurt along the way. Abandoned wives, abused children, broken families, dead babies, that's just collateral damage. Bug splat, they call it, on the way to our personal happiness. And that's not all. Because once we accept their understanding of life and love, we put ourselves in their hands, in their control, because they will be then the suppliers who will provide us all this pleasure. That's the ancient temptation of Adam and Eve, isn't it? And that is when they can do with us as they please, because then they are in control of us and our lives and our souls. And it's not so much about wealth and money that they can get out of us, so that's no small part of the whole thing, but it's about power. That's the ultimate wealth. And if the truth be told, that's where Satan comes in. Because Satan will use all the things going on around us, the politics, the TV, all of it, the culture at large, to seduce us to his will at the very moment that we think we are achieving our will. Now, they did not get to this by intellectual argument. They appealed to our lower instincts, our baser passions. They promoted unlimited and unfettered bodily pleasure as the sum and the summit of life. And they gave us movies and music and newspapers and iPods and Blackberries and rock and roll and legalized divorce and contraception and sterilization and gay marriage to direct our pleasures to where they want us to go. so that we will do what they want us to do. They have engineered a whole culture that fills their pockets with the money that should have gone for bread for our children, but we've killed all our children to feed the appetites that they have stoked. And we've created a whole structure of laws and enforcement to protect their power over us, so that if by accident something like a little baby is actually conceived, despite all of our Herculean efforts to make our lovemaking sterile, then now it's legal to kill that baby. The baby is the inconvenient roadblock to more pleasure, so abortion serves to keep our physical appetites unencumbered by things like responsibility and duty and sacrifice and true love. And it keeps us in thrall to those who tell us it's all about freedom. And we don't even notice most of this. And in order to keep us in the coma, to keep us in the dream, where we think that the best thing we could ever hope for in this life is as much physical pleasure as we can get, they spend countless billions on endless distractions and the subtlest seductions. What do you think is behind all the movies about good vampires and gay cowboys? They're trying to keep us in the sleepwalk, in the moral fog that tells us that good is bad and bad is good, that God is evil and the devil is good. That's what they call the transvaluation of values. It keeps us off balance and in their hands. So is the Christian West Christian? No, it really isn't. The West, the United States, Europe, anywhere we have spread enlightenment values, parts of Latin America, the Philippines, Japan, well, that's the West. And it's not Christian. It's worldly, it's godless and grasping, and it calls itself enlightened because it's no longer in the shadow of the church, but therefore belongs to Satan. Now, personally, we as individuals may be Christian, we may be Catholic, but we need to remember that we are Christian and Catholic only to the measure and to the extent that we practice our faith in conscious defiance of the reigning culture around us. If we go along with it all, perpetual war, cutthroat finance, intentional poverty, scheduled unemployment, as well as accepting abortion and gay marriage and pornography, if we go along with that and just say, well, that's the price of our freedoms, that's the price of living in America, well, then we become part of the problem. The bishops can have all the days of reparation they want, but until we realize that the problem is deeper and older and more pervasive than deciding which republic is more electable than Barack Obama, we're going to have to commemorate January 23rd forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.